We are here today with Betty, is it Betty Murphy Larson?
Yeah.
Okay, and I'm Nancy Greenfield, the interviewer for the Gathering Project, and it's May 16th, 2011, and we are doing the interview at Betty's house, and this is, what's your address?
1938 Garrison Avenue.
In Butte, Montana. And, so, Betty, do you want to tell us your name and then spell it?
Well, my real name is Elizabeth Ann Murphy Larson.
Okay. And,
Oh, do I have to spell it? It's spelled L-A-R-S-E-N.
S-E-N. Okay. And where and when were you born?
I was born in Butte, August 5th, 1930.
And have you lived here all your life?
Yes, except for going to college, and I worked in Helena for a while.
Okay. So how many years is that?
Oh, glory. You go 4 years to college, and then I started interning in Bismarck, North Dakota, and then I came back and interned in Billings, Montana, and then I moved to Helena and worked from like 53 to 56 or something, and I came back to Butte.
Okay. Let's see. Are you married?
Yes.
And at what age did you marry?
I was 40.
Okay. And is your husband of Irish ancestry?
Well, all I can find on, see, his mother's name was Canoe, like the boat, C-A-N-O-E.
Oh.
I can find that family, of course. I cannot find where they came from, except I do have something on Carnu. I have a couple who had a John and a James Carnu.
And how do you spell that?
C-A-R-N-E-W.
Okay.
And then James moved to New Jersey and raised a family. I have all of that family. John moved to New Jersey, and James moved to Ohio, I think, and then they went. So I haven't worked on the tree for a while, and then they moved to North Dakota, and I have enough proof for the canoe. See, he changed his name to Canoe.
Okay.
Like the boat. The other ones kept his name as Carnu or Cornu. But John served in the Civil War, and on his Civil War, can't think what you call it. It's something that proved they were in the Civil War and got benefits afterward or something. I can't think what that is. Anyhow, he had his name as John Cornu, C-O-R-N-E-W, / Canoe, C-A-N-O-E.
Oh, wow.
So I really think they're all the same family.
Oh.
But John said he never heard of them.
Okay. So he didn't get told any of those stories.
Yeah.
So do you guys have any children?
Yes, we have two.
And what's their names?
Michael John Larson and Kathleen Marie Larson Russell.
Okay. And do they have children?
Yes, Mike and Terry have a daughter who's 17 now. Her name is Tara Boudet, her last name is. And then Kathleen has a daughter, Britton Elizabeth Russell.
Okay. Do your children live near here?
Mike lives in Lewistown, Montana, and Kathleen lives in Olympia, Washington.
Okay. Okay. Let's see. What I'm wondering to start off with is if there's something that you really wanted to share, and maybe we started off with that right away. Okay. Well, let's see.
I'm 100% Irish.
That's what I was going to say. You are 100% Irish, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, do you know what generation?
Let's see, I'd be the third, wouldn't I? My grandparents came here, and then my parents, of course, were born here. They're American, they were American, and then me, the third.
Okay, so both of your parents' parents came from Ireland.
Yes.
Okay. Do you know their stories about how they got here from Ireland?
Not too much. If you've been doing this, you realize how closed-mouthed the Irish are. They don't really talk much. And then my grandfather died in 1912.
Oh.
So, of course, I do not know him, but I've gone back to Ireland and this is his mother, and I might have a picture of his dad, I'm not sure. And then I have a picture of his house in Ireland. So, you know, I know that he came from Jersey Island.
From where?
Jersey Island.
How, can you spell that?
Dursey. It's off the coast of Ireland.
On, I don't know
West.
the West Coast, okay. Is that the only one you know about how they got here?
Well, my mother's folks came from Inishfernard, and that's an island off the coast of Ireland too.
And
It's
how do you
where
spell
Father
that one?
Sarsfield O'Sullivan was. They used to live next door, the Malveys and the O'Sullivans. They lived next door to each other on Inishfernard, and then they lived next door to each other up on North Wyoming.
They did. Wow.
And then let's see, that's my mom, that's my dad.
So you went to Ireland to do research?
Yes.
Did you find much out?
No.
You found the places, though.
Yes.
Did you find any relatives?
Yes, but they could care less. At the time that I went, see,
When was that?
I first went in, I think it was 96. My daughter and I went. And she'd just gotten out of high school, which is a terrible age to take a young person to Ireland because they have to have a bath every day and all that kind of stuff. And we were just kind of, actually, for two women, we did very well. We went pretty much covered Ireland, except for Dublin.
Oh,
We didn't
neat.
go up there. They said, do not go to Dublin as two single women.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Not
It
safe,
was
huh?
starting to get
Oh,
unsafe.
wow.
But so we spent most of our time there on the West Coast. And, well, we went to County Mayo. Actually, we went all around. We went up to Knock. We did most of it. We went to Killarney, all of that. And then my folks were from, we went to Jersey Island. We didn't go to Inishfernard. You can get there, but by boat. It's kind of hard. And,
What was that like for you to be there?
oh, very emotional, very fulfilling. I could kind of understand, Jersey Island's right there on the ocean. And I can see why my grandfather mined in the Alehis mines, and he had moved to the mainland and built a house in
So, and
Ireland.
what was the name of the mines?
Alehis.
And that's, how do you spell that?
Allehies.
Okay.
And they were closing down, so he came to America. And I assume he came to Butte, but I don't really have the proof that he came. There's too many Patrick Murphys, to really say you're the one. But I think he did, because I think he lived in the same house when he came back, so I think that's him.
Okay.
And then he went back to Ireland and got married. And had three kids, I think, with that lady. And then he came back to Butte in either, I think he says 1885, but one of their children was born in 1886, so that's kind of a close squeak there. But I have to assume that it was 1885. I haven't found his name on the passenger list. There are thousands of Patrick Murphys,
Oh, that's hard.
so I can't really prove him. But then she died, and he stayed here in Butte and married my grandmother. And of course, she's an O'Sullivan from County Cork, I guess. She said from County Cork. Some places she said she was born in Troy, New York. Some places she said she was born in County Cork. Well, County Cork and the O'Sullivans is impossible to put together because there's millions
Oh, it's
of
like
them.
Smith.
Yeah. And so I have to wait until they get all the church records online, which they will. soon, then I'll be able to find the whole family and I'll be able to prove. You know, I have her marriage license where she says her mom is Michael O'Sullivan. Her mom was Bridget O'Sullivan and her dad was Michael O'Sullivan. So I know that much. Now, and then I know about hers after she came to Butte in 1890, I think she came here.
Okay.
But married in 1893.
Okay. Do you know what? So your grandfather worked in the mines here.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what your grandmother did?
I think she just stayed home.
Okay.
Because she had 4 children. She had the children from the first wife, and then grandma had 3 children, so.
Okay.
Those children.
Now, you were saying that it was really fulfilling for you to be in Ireland. Can you explain
that
a little
more? Oh, yeah. Well, to go down, you know, we walked right on the graveyard. You know, the remains of the Catholic Church are there, and then my grandfather's house was there. And, you know, it was like, but no one had ever talked about it, or and I didn't know anything about it.
That sounds so exciting.
And so, the only thing that we know, that even we asked our dad how come his middle name was Quinlan, and he said, "Oh, I'm named after your uncle Quinlan in Ireland." Period. We didn't know any more about that, but he was raised in this house.
Okay.
And the Murphys raised Con Dennehy, who, you know. One of the Murphys married a Dennehy.
Okay.
They did that quite a bit, I think, took care of each other's kids.
Oh.
Because they raised Con Dennehy in this house.
And who was Con Dennehy?
Well, there's Dennehys in Butte that are related to Con Dennehy.
Is he famous?
No.
Oh, okay. All right. Just
no, I just think it's neat that they raised him.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
They did that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I always kind of wanted to have the house, but 2 teachers own the house now.
Did you get to go inside?
No. Both times there was nobody home. We just looked in the door.
Oh, okay. So you've gone twice to Ireland?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I went again. Oh, I think it's been 3 years now. And I stayed in Castletown Bear. I did not go any further. Well, I went to Irie's and Alahee's and got my certificates from 2 wonderful priests, Father Comer and Father Mulvaney.
What do you mean, certificates?
Well, for genealogy, you absolutely have to get the baptismal certificate as
okay.
proof.
Okay.
They don't care a hoot about death certificates or marriage. You've got to get the baptismal certificate.
Oh.
So, not even the birth, they don't care about that. You got to get that baptism. So I got those for
okay,
everybody.
I'm missing something, because I don't know enough about genealogy or the Catholic Church. So the baptismal certificate is the most important.
Mm-hmm, to the Catholic Church.
To the Catholic Church, not mm-hmm. to genealogy.
No, you have to get as many certificates as you possibly can for genealogy to prove
okay.
the person.
Okay.
Pretty hard when you can't get the death. Because I know Mike Murphy over there must have died. He was in the 1901 census, but he must have died shortly after that. And the priest says, "Oh, well, we don't care about that." So I got his baptismal certificate. So that's all you can do.
So you haven't heard any, like, personal stories about the ancestors that came from Ireland?
Well, my Aunt Noni. See, my grandfather, Malvi, which was my mother's dad, he died in 1932. My mom died in 1932 or 32. 3, I think she died. And after my mother died, there was no further contact with the family. I guess my brother and I stayed with my grandmother Mallory, but I was little. I didn't remember any of that. And then my dad remarried, and that lady did not like the Irish, wanted nothing to do with anything like that.
And so, that was here in Butte?
Yeah. So I do not know
very
many personal stories. Now, I do know, I interviewed Noni because, for the history, the family history. And she did tell me some of the things, you know, the very strong Catholic. And my Murphy family was very strong Catholic. They used to have mass in my Uncle Quinn's house. That's in the Discovering Jersey by Penelope Duran, and I can't find that book. But
so that house is here?
No, in Ireland.
Oh, in Ireland, okay.
Mm-hmm. And, the only one I could talk with, everyone else is dead. And she would just tell me how, you know, they worked so hard in the mines. Because that, my grandfather, Malby, lost his leg, I think from copper poisoning.
Oh.
And he had to wear a prosthesis for I don't know how many years. You know, they worked till they died just about. The company would make them watchmen at the end of there when they'd be like close to 60 or so, you know. But they still were working, and he was working up until he died. And they died young.
Oh.
You know, my grandfather Murphy was, I think he was 53 or so. My grandfather Malvy, I think he was 50-something, 6 or something.
Okay. Yeah. That mining's hard
work. Very hard, but they loved it. My grandfather Murphy loved it.
He did?
He loved mining. When he came to Butte, he had a mine in the Highlands and a mine in the Lowlands.
Oh.
For gold.
Oh.
But see, his first wife's children got that property. The cabin's still up in the Highlands. And maybe the cabin's still in the Lowlands, too. I haven't seen it for a long time.
Oh,
just an ordinary old cabin.
Yeah.
You know. But he built these things. He built, probably helped build this house, and he built a cabin up here, and he built the house in Allegheny's.
Well, that'd be kind of fun to see, though. They're kind of like the homelands.
Mm-hmm. I have a picture of that cabin, too, but I don't know where it is.
Hmm. Well, if you come up with it, we can always email it or...
Yeah. This is my grandfather's house in Ireland.
I'll have to take a picture of that before I go.
Oh, here's that other one. This might possibly be my grandfather, but I don't know.
Mm. Wow. He's pretty handsome.
Yeah, he's kind of a nice looking guy, but he's so slight, you know. I just don't know. But see, my grandmother, now she was stocky and strong.
Yeah.
Because my dad is stocky and strong. My dad was a football player.
Oh, he was.
But I have an uncle that looks kind of like this, so I kind of think that he might be my grandfather, Murphy. But I don't know how I'm going to prove that.
Hmm.
So I have all the pictures and all the certificates in here.
Cool. Okay, well, so what does your Irish heritage mean to you?
Well, a lot now. When you're growing up with a person who doesn't like the Irish, who calls you just, you're just shanty Irish, and your mother was shanty Irish, it slants your opinion, like, Irish are just a bunch of drunken bums, you know. So I grew up with that attitude, and then I got so dang busy going to college and getting work and everything that I didn't really think about it. I was very close to my uncle, though, that was here in Butte. And, of course, he was very Irish. He even had an Irish kind of brogue, which, if I get real upset, I kind of go in it, but otherwise don't. But, and he didn't talk much either, but he did say that grandma, all I remember he said about grandma had horrible styes on her eyes, and she used to throw the ashes from the stove, hold them up to her eye, to help that.
Oh, wow.
And she was 40 years old when she had my dad.
Okay.
So that runs in the family.
Yeah, I was going to say, you kind of know what that's like.
And I guess she was a great woman. And Uncle Dan never said anything bad about any of them. They were all great people, I guess. And
so you've said that a couple times, that the Irish were pretty quiet, didn't talk much.
They don't talk.
Do you have any idea why?
I think it's because it was so horrible at home. They didn't want to tell anyone where they were, although they could have figured it out if they came to Butte, to mine. But, you know, in the 20s, isn't that when the black and tan soldiers were running all over Ireland and killing people and everything? I mean, it was very bad at home. So they didn't...
I don't know the history that well. I was wondering if part of it was just because they wanted to assimilate here.
Possibly. But Ireland is so gorgeous. I mean, it must have broken their heart to come to this place.
Really?
Although, Allegheny looks kind of like Butte, where the mines were, a little bit. But it's still so beautiful. And we were talking about Irish. Well, now see, now I'm getting very proud of my Irish heritage.
You are.
Mm-hmm.
So can you talk to us about that?
Well, I just think, man, those women, you know, they had some of them had 20 children, and they're strong and healthy, and even though they were almost starved out, you know, we lost, I'm sure, a few people from the famine, because we can't find some of the children.
Okay.
And they were just buried, and I'm sure, you know, they're just so strong. And their faith at that time was very strong. I even think the Catholic faith might be losing its strength even in Ireland now, but at that time.
That was a big family, brought the family together?
Oh, sure. In the old days, you married Catholic. You didn't marry out of the church. And even those boys that came over here, you know, they might have drank a lot and caroused a lot, but they were very strong Catholics.
Oh. Are you?
Yes.
You. Mm-hmm. So yes. That's been passed down.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Is there, do you celebrate any Irish holidays?
Well, our daughter was born on St. Patrick's Day, which of course adds to that celebration. But we've always celebrated St. Patrick's Day, of course.
Is there certain things you do? How do you celebrate?
Oh, well, when the kids were little, we would put up balloons and chalet or shamrocks, you know, things like that, and go to the parade, and I'd have Irish dishes for dinner, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Oh, what kind of food did you
cook? They're big for potatoes, you know, like champ, I think, is mashed potatoes with onions and cabbage or something mixed in it. And have Blarney Stones. I only made those once, though. But that sort of thing. Yeah, we kept it up. And Dr. Strong said, well, she's going to be born on St. Patrick's Day. And he wanted me to name her Patricia. Kathleen Patricia, I think. But I didn't. But yeah, we celebrate St. Patrick's Day.
Is there any other Irish holidays?
Not that we really, you know, like there's St. Bridget's Day. There's all a whole bunch if you really want to look into them. All the saints.
Okay. But you didn't?
No, we don't especially. Partly because, although I think Carnu is Irish, I can't prove it. I think they came from Cornwall. So John is actually, he always said he was half Irish and half Danish. But I think he's half English and half Danish.
Oh.
But I got to get proof of those. See, they all moved around so much in those days. You know,
oh,
between
yeah.
Wales and Ireland and England and So I just don't have the proof of that, yeah.
I think I need to make something clear. Your husband's name is John...
Larson.
John Larson, and, mm-hmm. and the canoe or...
That was his mother.
His mother.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, do you, with the, let's see, any traditions with the Irish and the church and like maybe funerals?
Oh, yeah, you go to as many funerals as you can. And we used to have the wakes, you know.
You used to. They
yeah.
don't do that much anymore?
They don't do it much anymore.
What was that like?
You would just sit around more than anything. They used to have them in the houses, you know, years ago. The funerals and the wakes and everything were in the house. And the women would all sit in the front room, and the men would all be out in the kitchen drinking and eating and stuff. Not really that old, you know, to remember all that. But,
oh, okay.
But then, we're very strong for having funerals, but they're going. We used to all get together and say the rosary before the first night of the wake, you know.
Okay.
And they're kind of getting away from that. But it's still a very important thing to attend a funeral and help the people.
Okay.
If you can.
And no traditions that had to do with that?
Not that I can think of. I mean,
besides
you follow whatever the church,
rosary.
Whatever the priest kind of wants to do. And
okay.
I remember my Aunt Noni, she would tell me a few things like, oh, goodness, you don't get married on Wednesday or Friday. And I can't remember which. I looked all over the house for that interview. I can't find it. But I think she said, you don't get married on Wednesday or Friday because it's unlucky. Never put your shoes on the table.
I wonder why.
They can't explain why they get all these things. Exactly.
It's just been passed down.
Yeah. Don't put your shoes on the table. What are some more? I wish she were here because she could... Can't think of any more that are real. Well, you don't get married during Lent.
Oh, you owe him?
And my brother did.
Did it turn out okay?
Oh, the wedding, I mean, they've been together. Well, he got killed, but they stayed together all that time, and they had a very good marriage, but Father Leonard was the priest, and he kind of whispered through the whole thing.
Oh, he did.
So, see, you shouldn't do that. But then that was 1949 or 50 or something.
Oh.
So things are changing that way.
Is the church different from when you were young?
Oh, yes.
So how has that changed?
Well, the Mass used to be in Latin. Now it's in English. And I had no trouble marrying John, but then, of course, we were 40 years old. We weren't two young kids. But we got married at a Mass. Big Mass, big wedding, and it was fine. It was just a traditional old wedding, Irish or Catholic wedding, and...
And you got married in Butte?
Yes, St. John's Church.
And where's that at?
Oh, it's over there on, one street's Whitman, one's Marcia, I think.
Okay.
Since I don't drive, I've forgotten all the names of the streets.
Oh, okay, sorry.
It's just over there.
Sorry.
And they're going there since I was 7, so.
Wow.
Don't ask me anything too technical.
Well, let's see. Let's talk about you. What are some of your childhood memories, and where did you live in Butte growing up?
Well, I must have lived with my grandmother up on North Washington till Dad got married. Then my dad, there was a strike in 1930, and my dad worked for the company. And of course, you know, it was war if you worked for the, you know, between the union and the company.
Oh.
And so I think my dad just left town. And he worked for the WPA as an engineer. And so I went all over the state with him.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, we went I can't even think. I think I started first grade in Lewistown. Anyhow, we were all over. Oh, I think I went to first grade in Roundup, too.
Well, do you remember much of that?
I remember losing my mittens and getting into a lot of trouble over that. And I remember being in huge classrooms. I'd be at the end of a, and I was small when I was little. I couldn't even hardly see the teacher down there. I really didn't get too much out of those first few years.
If you were moving a lot?
Yeah.
Yeah. Were you in like train cars or?
No.
Do you remember any of that?
A lot of road construction. I can remember that. Sometimes the guys would take me up in the cabs with them, you know, just for fun.
Yeah.
I can remember doing that.
Okay.
And cold, was it 36 that was so cold? Very cold one year. One year there was a lot of grasshoppers and all that kind of stuff. It was hot. It was either hot or cold.
And it was the Depression.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah, the Depression, big influence on me.
Really? Can you talk about that?
Well, we were starving. My dad was out of work.
Wow.
And my stepmother used to brag that she kept the family going on $2 a week. But we didn't eat much. My brother and I were real little, skinny and little, you know, skinny and all that. And I can remember swiping carrots and stuff like that when we were little.
You remember being hungry?
Oh, yeah, very definitely.
So how did that affect you?
I don't throw anything away. And I don't waste food.
And you don't waste food.
Mm-hmm. I think that stays with you, kind of.
Did it teach you anything about what's important in life?
Boy, I don't know. I wasn't happy as a little kid. My mother had died.
That must have been hard. You were 2 and a half
yeah.
or something?
And my stepmother was mean, and my dad was busy, and I don't know if that taught me anything.
Yeah.
Then, of course, I remember the war.
And how old were you then?
Oh, let's see. When we declared war, I must have been 11. 1930 to 40, yeah. 10 or 11. I remember that when we declared war. Then my brother joined the Army. He wanted to be a Navy pilot, but his eyes were bad. And he got all set. They even had him sent there and ready to go. And they said, well, you can't even see going home. Oh, he was heartbroken. But he joined the Army partly to get money to go to college.
Okay.
And he became a doctor, Spanish doctor.
Oh, so. Does he live here?
No. He got killed in Phoenix, Arizona. Lived there.
Oh. Was this your only sibling?
Yes.
So it was just you and your brother.
Mm-hmm.
And how old was, what's the age difference?
He was born in 27, and I was born in 30, yeah.
Okay. So being a kid sounded like it was kind of hard. Then when you became an adult or, you know, became of age and became an adult, did life get easier for you?
Oh, yeah, sure. I went to college, got a good, was a med tech for years. When we were growing up, it isn't all this touchy-feeling, divorce your parents type of stuff that it is now. You were with your parents. I mean, and for some strange reason, I had a great deal of security.
Oh.
And I don't know why we felt so secure. Because my dad was a very good guy, very calm, serene, secure. And then, of course, he got on steady in the mines as a mining, as a safety engineer later. So then we had more money, and things were a lot better then.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You know, like during the war years and after the war years. And then I went to college, and then I did the work I loved doing. Came back to Butte and worked here.
And you loved And that work, and what work was that?
Well, I started out as a medical technologist, but I ended up as the head of the microbiology department at St. James, or community, St. James Community Hospital.
Oh, wow.
So I'm really a microbiologist.
And what did you do there?
Well, med techs do lab tests. They do all, you know, they set up blood for people, cross-match blood for people, do all the lab blood work, all the chemicals, all that kind of stuff. But then microbiology, you do all of the cultures on bacteria and viruses and fungi and stuff like that.
So why is that so interesting?
I don't know. I loved it. I loved it since I was a little kid. I used to go to the library and look and read the books about it.
Oh,
I just loved
neat.
It.
Huh.
I miss it because I don't do it. But, oh, yeah, it was a good job. But I quit to raise my kids.
Okay.
Because, well, Mike was born in 41, Kathleen was born in 46. So, not 46, 71 and 76.
Okay. So you worked for quite a few years. You were 40
mm-hmm.
when you had your first child. And then you quit working to raise your kids. What was it like becoming a mom?
Oh, fabulous. Absolutely. I loved being a mother. And I nursed. I loved nursing my babies. Mike was a hard child. I think he was starved when he was inside me or something. We couldn't fill him up. He'd nurse, and then we'd give him a bottle, and then we started feeding him early because he had to eat. And but I just loved it. I loved being a mother.
I agree. So can you talk about that anymore?
I don't know what else to say. I just loved it.
So did you do anything special with your kids, or?
Well, we went camping every blasted weekend. Mike was a baby. He was 3 months old, I think, when we first went camping. See, they were born in March.
Okay.
So the very first chance we got to go camping, we'd be out there camping, and I'd be boiling everything. it was great. I loved it, all that.
So where did you go camping?
Oh, gosh, all over. My favorite place is Elkhorn, north of Dillon. Elkhorn Hot Springs, it's north of Dillon.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
and why
then,
is that your favorite place?
Oh, it's got everything. It has the creek, and it's got a swimming pool, and it's got food. Great.
Okay. Did you hunt crystals up there?
Yes, hunted crystals. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the kids found quite a few. Yeah, that's great. But we went all over a lot up with the Wise River and... Oh, Boulder Creek, all over.
Okay.
You know, if you go every weekend.
Just
you end
like
up,
being outside.
Yeah. Yeah, we'd play baseball with the kids, stuff like that. Hide and seek.
So
yeah.
Were you in, did you raise your kids in this house?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Not big enough. Too late now.
It worked. let's see here.
I worked a little bit after. I did Dr. Austin's lab work for him, and a little bit, but I never got back to the hospital.
And then you started doing genealogy?
Yeah.
And how long have you been doing that?
Oh, about 40 years.
And what, do you know what how that started? Why the interest in that? And
it probably was my Uncle Dan, because he would talk a little bit about the family, a tiny bit about it. And my Aunt Fan was still alive then, too, and we used to go visit her. She lived in Bozeman. And then I just kind of started thinking, I wonder how this all goes together. And then I started thinking about doing genealogy, and I found my grandfather right away, in his death record here.
Okay.
So then it's just mushrooms.
Okay. So are you, when you say you've been doing genealogy this long, do you do other people's genealogies
yes.
also?
Mm-hmm. I don't take any money for it, but I do. See, they send requests to the archives.
To the Butte Archives?
Mm-hmm. And then if you're on the internet, you join a lot of genealogy groups. And if they had anybody that came to Butte, I could look them up for them.
Oh, wow.
And send, you know, the... And now the archives has a birth and death certificate, which is wonderful.
So that tells people a lot, huh?
Mm-hmm.
What
oh,
does
yeah.
it tell? Or how, why is
well,
it so wonderful?
You have to have proof. You can't just say, oh, my mother was born in 1930, because you have to have proof.
Okay.
You let us, well, here's, they're all in here now, see.
Okay.
But,
so that's
then,
where you start.
Yes, you got, yeah. I think the easiest is this. But see here, now
oh,
here's my certificate of baptism. It's got everything in there. It's got the names and where they were born and the priest and the witnesses and...
Oh, okay.
See, if you do genealogy, you want to get the whole picture. You want to get maybe even the witnesses. Might be another family member.
Oh, okay.
So you kind of get it all together that way. See.
Oh, you get more information
uh-huh.
on a certificate
yes.
than if you just find
mm-hmm.
a card that says...
Yes. Oh, definitely.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But don't go by death records all the time. My uncle Dan said that his mom's name was Cunningham. Wasn't Cunningham at all. It was Sullivan. He was probably upset. I forget what you asked me, and I started rambling.
Well, no, that's okay. So what's that like doing other people's genealogy, or what? How's
oh,
that been
fun.
All these years?
Oh, the research is what's fun. As you can tell, the entire house is full of research, but I don't have it together.
Well, it's a lot of stuff to keep organized.
Now, this is my Murphy book. I mean, it is put together, and some of my others are together, but it's a lot of work, you know, to keep it going.
Yeah. So have you learned anything about other people's stories that, I don't know?
I don't know. One lady said, did those miners move around that much? Yeah, miners moved around a lot. My grandfather was in Nevada City for a while.
In
I think
Montana
after my,
in Nevada City? Or in
no, Arizona. Isn't it Arizona?
Utah?
No.
No, Nevada.
Criminy, where is it? Nevada, I guess. See, I haven't worked on this tree for a while. But yeah, he was, after after his first wife died, he left Butte for a year or so and was down in Nevada City.
Oh, okay.
And I found that because he was in the Ancient Order of Hibernians, and it showed where he was in Nevada City, and then he moved back to Butte.
Oh, okay.
And then I don't know exactly when he moved back. See, I'm still working on getting it all together. They got married in 1893, my grandparents. And his first wife died in 1889. So there's that gap there where he was. But they moved all over, and they went to Colorado and
so the miners
California.
Moved a lot to where
mm-hmm.
the gold or the
yeah,
gold rush or whatever
they could
was.
Go. But then even when they're in town, I was doing research for this one lady, and that family moved about four times. And she said, do they do that? And I said, well, I guess they do. He did. You can look in the city directories, and they're wonderful for genealogy because you can follow the family.
Oh.
It's usually only the man's name, but then you can at least follow the family for a few years.
Oh, okay.
And some of them have their wife's name in parentheses. So you get that.
Okay. I just thought of something. Do you have anything that's been written up or that you've written up?
I was trying to be a writer, and I have that stuff. I did get something published.
Oh, and what was that?
I think the only thing I got published was a short story in Montana Catholic.
And what were you talking about?
Oh, brother, what was I talking about in that story? I wrote some other stories, but then they quit that series. I don't remember. Probably a little kid. Oh, years ago. I've been trying to learn how to write for years. I'm not very good at it.
I learned from this class that I need to learn how to write.
Oh, boy, it's hard.
Yeah.
It is for me. I don't know why it's so hard for me.
Yeah. It takes a lot of practice and time.
But I'm trying to write up the family history. I'm trying to kind of write maybe a little bit of a fiction story about them all. But there's just so many of them to work in.
Oh, fun.
And I still think there's so much anti-company feeling in Butte.
Oh, there is?
Mm-hmm. I think there is. Maybe others don't feel it.
Well, I'm learning more about Butte since I took this Irish Gathering class.
Mm-hmm.
And on one hand, it's people grateful to have work.
Mm-hmm.
But then on the other hand, you know, they fought the company or whatever mm-hmm. for better labor conditions and all that. Mm-hmm. And
lots of them got killed.
And yeah.
Lots and lots of people would just come over here from Ireland, and on the first ship, they'd get killed. You know, you can see that. But on the other hand, the ACM was a good company. They paid the highest wages in the country, I think.
Oh,
now,
no.
I'd have to find proof of that statement, but the wages were good.
Oh.
But the conditions weren't that good.
Huh.
And then, of course, my dad had to stay at work. He was a company safety engineer. He had to stay in the mine to make sure the mines were safe.
Oh.
Well, they don't forget that. In the 40s, they were wrecking the houses, and they were going to come down and wreck our house. And the company sent the wives up to the Finland Hotel, and we got sent to Spokane to our grandmother's house. This is my stepmother's family, though, not my other grandmother. But so there was a strong feeling, and I think there still is a little, especially in these times when the economy's bad. It's kind of like, well, we had, you know, that too.
I don't understand.
Well, they went on strike and they were out of work. And but you know, in those days, the little stores would carry you. Things like that. I don't think they were that hard up.
Okay.
But they still kind of resent the company.
Okay. Huh.
But then I only see my side of the story. See, I don't see the other.
Well, and that's what, learning more about history, we can see the other side of the story. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm sure they were hard when they were on strike. They didn't have any money, of course. But.
So what does a safety engineer do exactly?
Well, they go around and make sure that people are working safely, and then they have like talks and posters made, put up, you know. I can't remember them all, but watch that slag. My dad got hurt once, broke his shoulder. They just teach work safely.
So he worked for the company, so does that mean that he wasn't a union guy?
Right.
So did you get backlash from that?
Well, I thought we did if they were going to wreck our house.
Oh.
See,
it was the people that were going to wreck
yes.
your house.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, they wrecked the houses of the guys that were still at work.
Oh, okay. And how old were you when that was going on?
I was in high school. I think I was about 14.
Did your house get?
No. No, we had moved out, and for some reason, all the neighbors were watching and kind of, you know, helped. I don't really remember. We were shipped out.
You were shipped out. Did any of your friends or other family members' houses or anybody you knew?
No. Okay. I think as children we were extremely protected. You know, I was wondering about it, but I think my dad was afraid I'd marry a cousin if I got out the door, because we were related to everybody. You know, we are related to all the Kellys, the Powers, the on and on and on.
Oh.
And Chase, and, you know, so I don't know. I just really didn't get any freedom until I went to college.
Oh. They didn't let you out of the house, huh?
I don't think so.
Dads are kind of hard like that.
Yeah. I always wondered about it, but now I think that's why. He wanted me to make something of myself, too. And that's another thing, you know, I've thought and thought about that. But I think the Irish push education. Have you found that out?
That's not what I feel from the Irish that I know. And then now that I've been learning about the Irish history and how they were looked at as not educated,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's become very important. I understand now why it's so important.
Oh,
to
I
be
think
educated.
So. But I think even back in my grandfather's day, there was a church in on Jersey Island.
Oh.
I'm not a church, a school.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. They went to school.
Okay.
They read English and.
But did it cost money to go to that school?
I don't know.
Yeah. I wouldn't. Mm.
Huh. That's a good question. I'll have to look into it.
Yeah. Let's see. I don't know how to ask this question, but did, like you said, your stepmother, you would call your family shanty Irish or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But not all Irish were.
Oh, no, of course not.
But did some people just think that all Irish were that way?
I don't know. I always look at the Kennedys back in Boston. Of course, they were all well-educated people. Many of them were. But I don't know how to answer that. I'm sure. In Ireland, I'm sure as you were growing up, people didn't say, well, what do you want to be? And then a little kid would say, I want to be a doctor, you know, because I don't think they were poor. You know, and just getting out of the famine, they were poor, and the English wouldn't let them go to school or go to church or anything. English kept dominated Ireland.
Wow.
So I don't know if that really happened until they came here.
Hmm.
But I know my dad wanted us to get educated.
Now, I learned that, I knew that Ireland had been fighting itself,
mm-hmm.
but now because of this project I'm working on here, I learned there's, the Green Irish and the Orange Irish?
Mm-hmm.
And do you think there's Protestant Irish that live in Butte?
I can't honestly answer that question. I don't ever remember of any trouble that way.
You don't? Okay.
It's a joke. You know, like if, oh, don't wear orange on St. Patty's Day or you're going to get pinched.
Oh.
But as far as any, you'd have to go more, like, see, we were so sheltered. I don't know. You'd have to talk to the other women who probably lived up in Dublin Gulch or something, and maybe they had more of that.
Okay.
The Cornish and the Irish used to fight.
Okay.
All the time. But I don't know about the Protestant part.
Let's see. I'm just going to digress here, go back to when you were a child. Do you remember games you played or toys you played with? How you entertained yourself?
We were very quiet children. No, I played jacks, is that what you...
Mm-hmm.
And, I don't know where my brother was in these years, but my stepmother and my dad and I were running all over the state. And you're staying in hotel rooms and the like.
Oh.
And it isn't a whole lot of fun.
No.
Playing.
No.
And I remember my favorite doll, I dropped it, so my stepmother took it and threw it in the garbage. So, I don't know. I must have been pretty quiet.
And how old were you when maybe you quit moving around?
7.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, we came to Butte, and then we moved in this house in 1938. And I went to St. John's, second grade, I think it was.
Oh, okay. And then you made friends, and...
Yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
then you probably played with them.
Not much. Well, I say, I don't know whether it was my stepmother who didn't want anyone to know where she lived, or... I really think that. I don't think my dad cared. You know, I mean, men didn't raise the children.
Oh.
They made the money. Mm-hmm. They didn't have much say over the kids. And I think she kind of said, well, either I'm going to have the say over these kids or I'm not going to raise them, you know, maybe, or I don't know. But anyhow, we didn't have a whole lot of friends. We never had sleepovers. Of course, we had friends in school.
Oh, okay.
But,
Did you go to Catholic school?
1 year is all.
Okay.
And with 1 year grade school and 1 year girls' central. We couldn't afford.
Okay.
Not for 3 kids. See, that's when my stepmother brought my sister in the house, when we were about 12, I think.
Oh, now, so you have a sister?
Yeah, but she's not my sister. She's just a friend, actually, of my stepmother's that she brought in and raised.
Oh, okay. And what was her age?
We were the same. Actually, we're a month apart.
Is she still alive?
The same, yes.
Are you close with her?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Oh,
okay.
Yes. Yeah.
And does she live here in
Butte? Yes.
Oh. Okay. Well, that must be nice.
Oh, very. Mm-hmm. She lost her husband it's been about 2 or 3 years now. But she does fine. Her kids take her everywhere and do everything. And
okay.
She's doing fine.
Oh. Hmm. Let's see. So now, is this the house that was your dad's?
Mm-hmm.
It is. Wow. So how is it different from when you were little?
Well, it used to have doors. That actually, it's not a very good house to raise children in, I'll tell you. With the doors all open. And then the walls were just, I don't know, maybe you've never heard of calcimined walls. They're just board or I don't know what. We used to calcimine them every year. Paint them with calcimine.
What's calcimine?
I don't know.
I gotta find out now.
I didn't really like them.
Was it white?
Yeah, they were white. You'd paint them with this paint.
Calcium?
Yeah, kind of white paint. We had to clean house. My stepmother didn't clean house. My Randy and I cleaned house.
Oh.
We'd scrub those dang walls. So, my dad remodeled the whole house after my stepmother died, okay, with a different wall. Then when John came, he didn't like the walls. So this is like 1976 or something, these walls.
Oh, okay.
It was dark. It was all dark wood.
Oh.
And it was awfully dark, so he lightened it.
Lightened it up, uh-huh. Yeah. So where was your bedroom?
Upstairs. There's 2 bedrooms.
Do you have the same bedroom now?
No, we sleep down here. The kids all used to sleep upstairs. Actually, we don't have the same bedroom. The bedroom used to be in the front room now.
Oh.
So we're in this bedroom.
Okay. Wow, what's it like to be in, were you born?
I was born here. I was born up, we lived at 729 North Main.
Okay. So then you moved here when you were 7, is that what you said?
Yeah.
So what's it like being in the house that you've been in for so long?
Well, I'm not a real what you call house lover. I mean, I like to cook and I don't mind keeping house. But I wouldn't, care.
Oh.
We should have moved.
Oh.
We really should have moved when we got married.
Oh.
Because it has too many memories, and it wasn't large enough to have kids. See, there are no doors anywhere. And the kids, I think they just wanted to get away from each other.
Just want some privacy.
Yeah. They'd go in the basement or something. Then when I, well, my theory was you don't want to make the house too comfortable. You want them to get out and go to college and make some something of themselves. But we should have moved.
So you I don't know if you can talk about what your community was like when you were growing up or what your community is like now.
Well, by community, do you mean just this area or the whole city?
Probably whatever you want to talk about.
Well, it was safe. The only reason we locked the doors is I swear my stepmother thought maybe her ex-husband or somebody was coming after her because we had to lock the doors. Nobody locked their doors.
Oh.
It was very safe. And hobos would come and we'd feed them.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Wow.
It was very open. And, you know, everybody says Butte is a melting pot. I never thought it was because we had several friends that were either Serbian or German or anything but Irish, but they stayed in their place. They, you know, Butte is all sectioned in those.
Oh, so that because everybody stayed in their own communities,
mm-hmm.
you didn't feel it was a melting pot?
No, I didn't think it was a melting pot from that standpoint.
Okay.
But everybody was very friendly and open and helpful.
Oh.
I never noticed a snob in Butte. I mean, you know, just... Well, there was a few in high school.
So, can you talk about how you've seen Butte change?
Well, it's changed terrifically. Go uptown and you see the weirdest people running around. So many. I've heard the high school is completely full of drugs. It's not safe. You don't go out walking around as much. Although I still feel safe. You know, I go out walking around and, you know, that stuff. But you know that it isn't. And, of course, the uptown is so dead.
Well, and but you've seen it go from when the mines were running really well
mm-hmm.
to... it closing down and then no
mm-hmm.
work.
Yeah.
And now Butte's kind of coming back.
Yes, but it's only coming back because of tourism and small industries. We've got to keep the tourism going.
That seems kind of exciting to me, because I've seen what, you know, the way it looks and what they're doing with that folk festival and...
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that's fabulous. But we have to do something or we're going to be gone.
Mm.
Oh, yeah, I can remember when, oh, man, you'd go uptown, you couldn't find a place to park. Well, I can remember the streetcars when I was
little.
Oh,
you can?
Yeah. So, people all over the place.
Wow.
And like the 4th of July, all that would be, oh. We'd go uptown and you'd run into all these people and all the people would give us a dollar or something, you know. It was great. My brother was in the Butte High Band. Oh, that was something.
Huh. It was really a city.
Yeah. They said it was the most cosmopolitan city east of Chicago, I think they used to say. Oh, yeah, and you dressed when you went to town. You wore a hat, bought stockings.
Oh, you did?
Nice shoes and gloves.
So, yep. Do you have any of those clothes still?
Well, I probably have the gloves. No, I can't say we had a whole lot of clothes, you know. We'd have a dress-up outfit. It isn't like nowadays.
Okay.
Where you wear pretty much the same thing. But... yeah, no, I don't think I do. Oh, my very favorite. I had a little Shirley Temple dress. I loved that dress. I think I have that.
Oh. Neat. So, did you go to the Columbia Gardens?
Yes. There again, we were not allowed to go as kids. We had to go, you know, with the folks. Everybody in Butte used to go on the streetcar to the gardens, but we didn't. But of course, we lived here too, and the people uptown would do more of that kind of thing. But we went to the gardens often.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, loved it. We took Mike out to the gardens. He was born in 71, and when did the gardens close? About 73 or something. So he got there once.
Okay.
On the cowboy swings and stuff, and slides. And I even think we went up in the airplanes.
What was that like becoming a mom at 40?
Scary, actually. I'd been doing chromosome studies at the hospital. So I was very aware of birth defects. And I was very, a little bit, I think all Irish are a little superstitious. They're quite superstitious. I wouldn't get the crib. I wouldn't get ready. I didn't get anything ready.
Is that a superstition?
No, not. I don't. It's not an especially Irish superstition, but Irish are superstitious. Like, you know, let's don't buy all that stuff because maybe we won't have a baby to bring home.
Oh, okay.
We don't believe that the fairies take them anymore or anything, you know, but I was a little worried. I was scared, and I had a very hard time having Mike.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. I was in labor for a couple of days, and finally the doctor. They were remodeling fifth floor at St. James, or community.
Okay.
And there was only one nurse on duty, and a friend of mine was having her baby while I was in there having labor with Mike. All I can remember is getting up and out of bed 100 times. You know, you feel like you have to go to the bathroom. There was no nurse there, nobody to help me. I was up doing that. And then finally the doctor came and I said, I don't know, I was kind of out of it. And I said, please do something, save this baby. I really wanted that baby. So I remember doing that. But I was worried because I didn't know, if he'd be all right. And then, we had a bad time. I had a hard time having him. They couldn't get IVs going, and I couldn't carry him, and I nursed him, and it was kind of hard. And poor Mike, he was long. He was 23 inches or something. He was a long baby. And but he's normal.
Oh.
Both of them are normal. My husband says, are you sure? But I think they are. But anyhow, yeah, it was beautiful after, you know, finally I could hold him and bring him home and do something with him.
Mm-hmm.
That was fabulous. But a little nervous because you're not as carefree. You know, you're not slightly older than they are. You're more...
You know you're more fragile than when you're 20.
And you know the things that can happen.
Mm.
You know all the diseases they can pick up and, you know, everything that can happen to them. And, but then, that was kind of hard. But then I had Kathleen 5 years later. And the advances in the medical procedure were fantastic. You cannot believe it.
Wow.
See, I had to have a section with her, too. Not because I could have probably had it normally, but she was 8 pounds as it was. So, Mike was 8, 9. But, it was just so much nicer, so much easier.
Huh.
And she just took to nursing right off, and it was very easy.
Huh. And then, so that was the 70s. I just wondered what it was like being your age in the 60s and 70s, or 50s, 60s, 70s, after World War II and the women's movement.
Uh-huh. Well, I've had friends that say, wow, you were one of the first independent women. Well, I didn't look at it from that standpoint. I just knew I wanted to be a doctor is what I wanted to be.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, but see, we didn't have money for two of us. My brother
okay.
got through medical school. So this was the closest I could get, so that's what I took. And I wasn't thinking of it from being an independent woman at all.
It's just how your life
was. Yeah, it's just the way it was.
Hmm.
And I knew someday I'd be married, and I didn't worry about it.
Were you involved at all with that?
The movement?
Yeah. Did it?
No.
Or did you have feelings about it?
Oh, definitely. I think our women, we still aren't liberated. We're kidding ourselves. You just look and see how many women will say, oh, I better ask my husband. I mean, you can't get away from that.
Do you get away from it?
I let John, but I do as I dang please, but, you know, but he thinks he's the boss. I really do, but really, if you look at your religion, you know, like St. Paul said, but you've got to love the woman.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you've got to have that love. If you don't have that love there, you look at, I bet you have 50% of the homes, the husband's beating up on the wife and in some way.
Really?
Yeah, maybe not physically, but it's, I don't know. I think I've even seen some of my friends. I was in the American Association of University Women, and they're very intelligent, independent ladies.
Okay.
And even there, it's don't tell my husband, you know, a little bit.
Oh.
I don't think we've gotten away from a lot of that.
Do you think, can you tell through your daughter and your son that it might be getting better?
Oh, my daughter just said, to heck with you, and got divorced. But very different.
Oh.
Extremely different.
You think?
Well, yeah, well, there's nothing wrong with her husband.
Mm.
He just didn't grow up.
Oh.
As so many men of this generation, I don't think they've grown up. They don't realize that they have to support the family. And I think the part of the trouble might be the women that think they're so independent.
Oh.
I think they've kind of lost their place, you know, because Kathleen would be working and Shannon would be just spending the money. I mean, I think they've lost that somehow.
Oh.
But of course, she said she wasn't going to be a 90s woman and stay home and keep house. She's a counseling psychologist right now, but they're very, very different.
Oh.
They won't. That's why there's so many divorces, don't you think?
Oh.
They're not going to stay home. And
I don't know if I'm supposed to be saying this on this tape, but I'm maybe closer to your daughter's generation. I don't
mm-hmm.
know. But I have hope for my children.
Mm-hmm.
The way that they are starting out with relationships,
mm-hmm.
it seems like, I don't know, anyway, my children and their friends seem like they're starting out with healthier relationships.
Oh, yes, definitely. Well, they've been teaching it in the schools and all over. I mean, it's got to be a union. It's got to be a compromise.
Mm-hmm.
You can't have one beating up on the other one.
Mm-hmm.
Either way, you
mm-hmm.
know.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
And my son and daughter-in-law get along fine. Kind of an equal relationship.
Mm-hmm. Well, you've seen a lot of stuff happen. Like, there wasn't that many cars around when you were born, right?
No. I don't remember any cars. I remember having to sit up in the back of a Terraplane. That's a car that had a board in the back rather than seats. And I still can't straighten my legs.
Really?
Yeah, from there. I can't straighten them.
What did you call this car?
I think it was a Terraplane.
I've never heard of that.
Oh, I can't remember. I got those pictures. Oh, I don't know now if I can find those pictures. I found these. I found my Irish pictures. I don't know if I can find that. They're little teeny cars. I think they were little Plymouths or something, but they only had two front seats and this board.
A board in the back?
Yeah, kind of.
Wow.
And I had to sit up there cross-legged.
Is this your dad's car?
No, that was my stepmother's. My dad didn't even have a car.
Oh, okay.
My dad didn't have a car until she died, and then he and I got a car.
Oh, okay. Hmm. Wow.
See, my dad, his, my mother's death really affected my dad.
Oh.
Really threw him for a loop. And I think he started drinking a bit. And my stepmother got a hold of him, and there'll be no more drinking.
Did that work?
Most of the time, really? Oh,
yeah. Huh.
Yeah, well, my dad was a great guy.
Oh. Do you have any special memories with him?
Well, we used to go to Greg's and swim, and that was fun. We used to go on picnics and things. And then he and I went to Hawaii.
Oh.
He loved to travel. If he hadn't had a heart attack, we would have gone all over the world with as much money as we could.
Oh, wow.
Oh, he loved to travel.
Huh.
He went to Mexico after my stepmother died, had a great time. And so then, did he go to Hawaii by himself? I can't remember that. But anyhow, he and I went to Hawaii.
And how old were you when he died?
Oh, I think he died in 62. So I would have been
32. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. So,
yeah, and I lived alone here.
Okay.
Those years.
Oh. Huh.
Until 40.
Okay. So did he belong to the Hibernians?
No, I never did. I kind of want to, but now I'm getting too dang lazy. I got so much to do that I don't have any more time.
You're doing all this genealogy.
Well, and I'm doing ghostwriting for internet marketing, and I'm...
Oh, you're doing ghostwriting. Tell me about that.
Well, I just got into it. My son started internet marketing, and the original people are billionaires.
Okay.
Of course. But us getting started now, I can't make any money. And my poor son was trying to do it. He likes to work at home on the computer. But I said, Mike, get a job. I think it's kind of scammy. So we looked. I kept on looking into it, and I got kind of hooked on it. And I ended up with this one lady who's great, and this one man who's great. And they taught this ghostwriting course. It was only like $40. So I thought, heck, I'm going to take that.
Okay.
And then I wasn't even through with the course when I had people offering me jobs.
So what kind of things do you write?
You write articles on anything you want. I want to get into the health field because that's my field.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm so busy. I have a genealogy webpage and a ghostwriting webpage, and I want to set up a health page.
Can you give us those addresses?
Sure. It's like HTT, you know, www, and then it's basic genealogy. Oh, no, it's www.squidoo.com/basic genealogy.
Okay.
And then my one that I'm working is www.ghostwriterbit.com.
Ghostwriterbit.
B-I-T
or B-E-T?
B-E-T.
B-E-T.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And so I'm trying to get that built up just to make a little money because, our daughter owes so much for school, and my son's trying to buy a house, and he's trying to get into this marketing, you know.
Huh, interesting.
It's a college degree. I wish you'd just go and get a degree in it because it's so much to learn.
Oh, I bet. Yeah, anything that has to do with the computer is... complicated.
Well, that's part of my problem. I'm not that good on the computer. I'm having a hard time doing that.
But keep at it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm not quitting.
Mm. That's great.
We want to get something going.
So what else are you busy with?
Well, I'm treasurer of the Butte Historical Society. And I do things with the church. And I belong to the genealogy club. And I'm a Red Hatter. I'm secretary of our Red Hat group, too. I think that's it.
So, what do these things mean to you?
Well, I'm constantly interested in Butte history.
Okay.
and you know, oh, and I work at the archives, volunteer at the archives.
Okay.
But it is, there is so much history that it's just, it's hard to focus on it, anything, but it kind of focuses you there a bit because you're helping people find things, find maps, find this, do their genealogy, you know, all that kind of focuses a little bit, but I love doing that. I love being at the archives. I've been going there for years.
Okay.
And now it's so nice.
It's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. And we just have a good time. I love the people up there. So actually, I thought I was joining the Friends of the Archives when I joined the Historical Society because they used to be together. They used to be one group.
Oh.
And I thought that's what I was joining. And I find out I'm in the Butte Historical Society.
Oh.
And they made me treasurer. So, but I enjoy that. I you know, anything to do with Butte history, I like.
You get so, to
yeah, we're pushing.
Talk and learn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think our motto is to preserve Butte history.
Mm.
So, that, you know, I like that. And then I just had a friend that asked me to join Red Hat, so I did. And that's fun.
So what do you do at Red Hat?
Well, all we do is go out to eat. But you can.
And wear red?
Yeah, you have to wear purple and red. You wear purple clothes with a red hat.
Is that every little girl's dream, to be able to dress
up?
Oh,
heck no.
No?
Well, yeah, every little girl's dream, yeah. But at this point, our point is we are sick and tired of working. We want to wear purple and red and eat chocolate and drink brandy and do what we please kind of thing. But to join, and everybody's still got kids, and everybody's still got, you know, everybody still has their home life to keep up to. But, oh, you can do a lot. You can go to the conventions. You can go on cruises.
Oh, okay.
Lots over the country.
Huh, fun.
But we don't. We just go out to eat.
Well,
but
we're
a good group.
Yeah.
We're just a small group, and we, you know, we get, sometimes we'll do something like go to a play or something.
So do you have friends that you've had for years and years here?
Oh, yeah. I can't say that I have too many grade school friends. I can't remember. One of my best friends died, and so I don't think I have made very many grade school friends, but then I have high school friends.
You still have high school friends?
Mm-hmm.
I do, too.
Yeah,
it's nice
so.
To have.
Mm-hmm. You don't see them often, mm-hmm. but enough that you keep.
Mm-hmm.
And then college. I still have college friends.
Oh, that's neat.
And then, but I think really it boils down to probably my best friends are med techs. You know, we get together. They invite us to all the parties. They invite us to all the doings that they have.
Okay.
So that's nice.
Yeah. Hmm.
And I see them.
Hmm. Let's see. Do you have any family heirlooms or keepsakes that were passed down?
Very few. There again, my step.